It's good to be here this morning to study the Word of God. And the psalmist said, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And that's what we want to do. We want to rejoice and be glad that we're Christians. Be glad that God is on our side. We know that because he tells us, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And so we always got to be thinking that he's on our side. He's not against us. He's for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? I want to talk about this morning. What is not expected of man? What is not expected of man? And we want to look at Micah 6 and verse 8. And there are things that God expects us to do, and there are things that God does not, he knows that it's out of our hands. Some things are out of our hands. It's in God's hands. But Micah, the prophet, said in 6 and verse 8, that's in the Old Testament, Micah 6 and verse 8, and we'll just look at some scriptures and I'll explain those that needs to be explained, and some of them don't need any explaining. But here's what the prophet says. As he was telling the Jews and what God wanted him to tell them, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, that is, what is right and fair, to love mercy, that's going to be compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within our power to punish or harm them." God says, show mercy, love and mercy, "and walk humbly with your God." Humbly in a way that shows or suggests a modest or low estimate of one's importance. You know, there's a lot of people that are important, but they don't act like it. They don't have a big head or anything like that. They have a humble attitude, and you just love people like that. And then there's others that has a haughty attitude, and we know that God don't like that. And God tells us that when we're humble, if we just humble ourselves, that he'll lift us up. And so we want to live in humility. God does not expect people. God does not expect, and we look at these scriptures, man to know as much as he. So there are some things, like I said, God just don't expect us to know and to do. But yet man expects you to know these things. Man expects us to do certain things. Look at Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. And as we're looking at what is not expected of man, God does not expect man to know as much as he. If you think about that, while you find in the scripture, that's why God has given us his word. Because he does not expect us to know as much as he. So we have the Bible to find out what he wants us to do. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." See what he says there? "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." And this word thoughts is rendered, is from a word, thoughts is rendered plans in some versions. So God is saying, my plans are not like yours, you know. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we can understand the fact that both the thoughts and acts of God surpass man's understanding. And as I was thinking about this lesson and how God, he has chosen some things that man call think as foolishness to get his message across. And let's think about God's thoughts and ways. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. To confound or confuse people who think they know more than God. And I remember Paul talked about 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Preaching a crucified Savior was foolishness to the Greeks, philosophers, and the Jews. But unto us who are being saved, it's God's power to save. So people think preaching is foolish. God don't think that, but man does. Let's think about the instruction which the prophet of God gave Naaman. You remember that God told Naaman had leprosy. Now this seems foolish to man. God told Naaman to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, and God didn't have leprosy, but Naaman did. Okay? And when he had the leprosy, to be cleansed of the leprosy, he had to do what God said do. Dip 7 times in the muddy Jordan River. And he got to argue with the prophet. How come I can't go to Pharpa and those other cleaner rivers? But God said, go to the Jordan River. And when Naaman went to the Jordan River and dipped 7 times, his leprosy was gone. That's another good example. Think about when God commanded Joshua to destroy the city by marching around it for 7 days, blowing on the ram's horn and giving a great shout, Joshua chapter 6. I'm not going to read that, but they were to march around the walls of Jericho, summed it all up, 7 times. And the walls would come tumbling down, and they did. So, they look like fools marching around the walls, but there's nothing foolish when you're doing it by faith. Another good example, as we've studied these Old Testament examples, things that look to be foolish in the eyes of man, but it's not in the eyes of God. The brass serpent on the pole in the days of Moses, Numbers 21, not going to turn over there. But you remember the people were complaining about they didn't have water, they didn't have any food, and they were complaining against Moses. And what God did, he sent fiery serpents among the camp, and the serpents bit the people, and the people died because they were complaining. But God told Moses to put up a pole and put a serpent, a brass serpent, on the pole. And the ones who were bitten by a serpent, just look at the pole. Just look at it. That seems foolish to the people. And I'm sure that maybe some of them kind of argue with God. And here's your leg and all swollen up, and you said you're not going to look at the pole. You're going to die. Moses told them what God said, to look at the pole. And when they looked at the pole, they were cured from the snake bite. I remember Jesus said in John 3:14, I'm just going to read this. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that song that we sing, If what Jesus was talking about Christ, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up. Isaiah 55:8-9, let's read that again. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Think about this instruction. As another in the New Testament, think about this instruction. There was a man who was blind, and God told him, or Jesus told him, to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam, and you will be able to see. And he did what Jesus said, and he could see. And there's other examples about that. I'm thinking also one where Jesus took mud and mixed it up and spit in it, and even spit in the man's eyes, I believe, and mixed that up. And he was a blind man and put and anointed his eyes, and he could see. And that man had faith. He stood there and let Jesus, spit in his eyes. That's what you do. We got to have faith in God. It seems like it's foolish, but he did what God, what Jesus said do. Think about the plan of salvation given by our Lord, the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Preaching to some people seems foolish. Had a guy at work one time, he said, don't preach to me, just take that somewhere else. God don't want to hear that. It was foolish to him. Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. A lot of people argue with preachers. They argue with us. I don't see no sense in being baptized. That's what they say. Well, Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. These are examples of God commanding simple things which appear foolish to men, but are wise because God has given the commandment. Truly, it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. All right, look at another scripture here. Deuteronomy 29. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 29. In Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, here's what Moses says to ancient Israel. Because sometimes people, they ask questions, and to be honest with you, I don't have an answer. Sometimes I don't have an answer because it's a secret thing. And the Bible says the secret are the hidden things. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, God's telling ancient Israel, that you may do all the words of this law. The secret means hidden or concealed. There's some things we don't know. We don't have an answer. So we have to kindly tell people that the secret things belong to God. It's not my business. There's some things just not my business. We trust God for his grace and manifest a childlike attitude. Just have faith in God. And what he has not told us, that we can't give an answer. God does not expect man to know as much as he. If you look at Matthew 24 and verse 35, are you listening? Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. Let's look at this one here. I won't keep you too long this morning. Matthew 24 and the verse is 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, But my words will by no means pass away. Now watch the next verse. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Brothers, sisters, and friends, there are those who have tried to predict when the day of the Lord is going to come. And some of them have already tried that. In 1988, they said he was coming. They missed it. In the 90s, they missed it. In the 2000s, they missed it. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. And so God does not expect man to know as much as he. And any man who puts a date on when Christ is coming, he's a false teacher, because we just don't know. And it's such a pity. I remember in the 2000s, I think, some man predicted that they're in the time is coming, and people sold their property and just sold out and went to the woods. I don't know why they went to the woods. If the world will come to the end, no matter where you go. And I don't even know why they sold it, because if the world going to come to the end, can't nobody use it anyway? Well, people not thinking, are they? And if we would just believe, then we think, because what we think is God's thinking, and we know that he's going to take care of us. Let's look at another one here. Got a few more scriptures and show you here. And hope you can see that there. God does not expect sinless perfection from man. And so why should man accept that? Why should we want to be thinking that, sinless perfection? And of course, you all know this, but those out there listening, they may not know this. And in John's days, there were those who were teaching that once they obeyed the gospel, they would never sin again. They believed that once you obey the gospel, you'll never sin again. Now, I'm not saying that we let something dominate our lives and rule and reign in our lives, but there's times that we just gonna sin. The sin of omission, sometimes there's things that we can do, and we just don't do that. 1 John chapter 1 and 8, look at here. Look what he says here. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. For a man to say that we have no sin, if I tell you all I have no sin, it's really I'm saying that I have no need for the blood of Christ, and without the blood, no man can be saved. We've got to come in contact with the blood of Christ before baptism, and we must come in contact with the blood of Christ after baptism. But look at verse 9 here. If we confess our sins to God, I know in the Catholic Church they go to the priest, but we go to God, because he's the only one that can take our sins away. If we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. See, those who insist that they have not sinned make God a liar and demonstrate the fact that God's word is not in them. One man I talked to a long time ago, he never did obey the gospel, and he said he just didn't think he could be able to live up to it. Well, we can. Much emphasis is given here to the fact and reality of sin in the lives of us all. We all do sometimes. We don't let it dominate our lives. We don't let it rule our lives, but we all do. It don't make no difference if it's a group of elders, if it's deacons, if it's saints. We all gonna see it sometimes. Those who deny this lie. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let's move on to the next scripture. In Revelation 2 and verse 10. Revelation 2 and verse 10. And I'm just so happy that I do know the word. I remember back years ago when I was a little boy, I felt like, the preacher he never sinned and all of that, because I didn't know nothing about the Bible. But we all do from time to time. But we've got to be faithful. And you know what? I think I missed the scripture. I sure did. I think I missed one. Well, let's read Revelation chapter 2 and 10. No, I didn't. That's next week. That's going to be next week. I knew I had a... Revelation 2 and verse 10. I'm sorry about that, y'all. Yeah, I did miss one too, didn't I? I'm sorry, right here. Philippians 3. Let's go back. See, I make mistakes, though. That's the first one this year. No, yeah. Philippians. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3 and 13. I knew there was something going on there. Philippians chapter 3 and 13. Listen what Paul says here. Philippians 3 and 13. I want you to check this one out as well. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Paul is saying he's in the race, in the Christian race. It's like running the race, but he said, I haven't finished the race yet. I'm still running. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. See, he was still striving to grow. He was pressing on. Other things behind, forgetting those things which are behind, are the things that we can read about in Philippians 3, 4 through 6. Let's look at that real quick. Philippians 3, 4 through 6. Paul says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Now he's telling us what he did for us to learn, even though he was persecuted the church, he repented of all of that. And he just letting us know that God will forgive us of anything in other scriptures, don't matter. He said he at one time he was a persecutor and persecuted church. He did it ignorantly in unbelief. But God will forgive people of any sin that they commit. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Those are the things, the circumcision. We know that Paul had to be circumcised, the Jews, when they were 8 days old. That's under the old law. He brings it up for teaching to teach us, but people don't have to do that anymore. And being a Jew and all the prestige of being a Jew, that's gone. That's gone. See, things that are gone, just like what happened 30 years ago, we might as well forget that. That's gone. And what we need to do is focus on 2023 and others. That's Lord's willing, if they come, focus on that. I remember one time I was listening to two preachers on TV, and one of them was telling one how hard he had it and all of that, and how he'd been mistreated and just had a hard time. And the other preacher told him, he said, I don't want to know where you've been. He said, I want to know where you're going. What happened a long time ago, we might as well forget that. And that's what Paul is trying to tell us. The old law, we study it, but it can't save us. It cannot save us. Look at verse 13 again. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. See, there's some good things ahead if we would just reach forward. Look what he says there. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying what I did in the past is gone. And so, let's look at another. God does not expect sinner's perfection from man. All right. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Let's look what Jesus says here. To the church, I believe it's Smyrna. Revelations chapter 2 and the verse is 10. Do not fear those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And you will have tribulations 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. We're going to struggle. These brethren struggle. We're going to strive, but let's be faithful. So what have we talked about as I wrapped up the lesson? What is not expected of man, God does not expect man to know as much as he. That's why we need to study the Bible, need to know what God wants, because we don't know as much as God. I always remember that. And then, God does not expect sinless perfection from man. And like I said, it don't give us a license to let something dominate our lives, but it is what it is. We're going to make mistakes. And that's why we have to be patient with one another, be long-suffering with one another, because God is patient with us, and he's long-suffering with us, and that's the way we have to do what God commanded us to do, and we don't want to beat up on our own selves. That's what the blood is for, to wash our sins away after we are baptized. He washes our sins away after baptism. We wash them away, and then when we come up out of the water, there's going to be times that we're going to make mistakes, confess our sins to God, and repent, and we okay. Man, he expects so much out of you. You can't please man. And he said, don't try to please man, please God. There may be someone out there who's not a Christian. If you're not, you need to obey the gospel. You need to have your sins washed away. Because you can't go to heaven if you haven't been obeyed the plan of salvation. One must hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, Paul tells us, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Need to believe the gospel. Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Got to repent of our sins. Luke 13:3. I tell you, nay, Jesus said, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Must confess Christ before man. Matthew 10:32. Jesus tells us, whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me, he says, I'll deny you. So we must hear, believe, repent, confess. We must be baptized. Got to go into the water of grave of baptism. Acts 2:38, Jews on Pentecost were commanded to repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us 3,000 people were baptized. Those men had some help, but there was 3,000 baptized in one day. And that'll put one into the body of Christ. live faithful unto death, and you'll go to heaven. Let us stand and sing the song that has been selected. Thank you.